It is our great pleasure to have Richard Rodriguez here with us on the Paula Gordon Show. The when you say Cubist, that covers the whole of 100 years of the way that we have been changing in the industrialized world. But one of the things that seems so striking to me, and maybe the tectonic plate, is that you are able to break out of patterns in the Cubist sense, really. You've taken me beyond black and white, which you call a vanity. You've taken me beyond Catholic and Protestant. You've taken me beyond East and West to say, and there's North and South. And have you thought about Southeast and Northwest? Breaking out of the dualities that have captured us for thousands of years, in some ways that Cubist metaphor, breaking out of something that's been so fundamental to our way of thinking is hard.
Yes, it's very hard. It's thrilling nonetheless. You know, here I am in Atlanta, and I went for a walk this morning around the neighborhood called Buckhead, and is that what it's called?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. And early morning, there are these men who look like Mexicans to me, walking to hotels and restaurants, getting off the buses. The street's otherwise empty, except for an occasional jogger. And I think to myself, I wonder whether Atlanta knows they're here. I don't mean as under the label of Hispanic, which is our newest disguise, but I wonder whether Atlanta realizes that there are so many men who look like Indians wandering around the city at this early hour of the morning, because we are Indian. We did not die in the 16th century. We are alive. Indians are coming north into the United States to work as dishwashers. And nowhere is that described in the Atlantic Constitution, that Indians are coming into Atlanta. It seems to me that we are in the presence always of these wonderful mysteries, that history is never complete, and that even more mysterious, there are these odd cycles or circles that we may be watching. I remember years ago, someone asked the Chinese Prime Minister, or maybe it was Zhou Enlai, what he thought of the French Revolution. And he said, it's too early to tell.
That's fabulous.
Yeah, it's really wonderful. It's very Chinese to say that, too. But I look at those young Mexican Indian men who speak both Spanish and English, who deal with two currencies, many of them pesos and dollars, who live with the memory of maybe of a Mexican village many thousands of miles away, and with this megapolis that they're living in now, who know their way between those two civilizations. And I think to myself, it may be still too early to know what 1492, the discovery of the Americas by Columbus, the discovery of Columbus by those Indians, we may not yet know what that event meant yet.
We had an experience in Wales, I don't know, 6 or 8 years ago, being in some of Edward's castles, and of course it was Edward that finally throttled, subdued the wild men of Wales.
That will be Edward I.
Edward I, Cymru, the 13th century. And over Edward's castles were flying the Welsh dragon, the flags of the Welsh dragon. And the people were speaking, this is in northern Wales, they were speaking Welsh.
Yes.
Fairly consistently, but
suddenly 800 years collapsed.
But part of it, I think you're right. And you know, we tend to, particularly in America, we have this sense of history as starting probably 10 years after we were born.
Yes.
that's if we're thoughtful, contemplative kinds of people. Otherwise, it goes back to last night's news broadcast. But there's so many things that are unresolved, and in some ways, what you do extraordinarily well is to present a landscape in which irresolution is not only acceptable, it may even be desirable.
And required.
That's an alien idea to us.
Well, you know, so much of American history that I was presented with as a child was the history of conflict and battles and argument. And it's always seemed to me, partly because my deepest secret was an erotic secret, that I was in love with the wrong sex, that I always understood that there was another energy in the culture that no one wanted to talk about. Those brown children playing behind Monticello, whose children were they? We never talked about that. There were these brief asides in history books. The tobacco farmer in South Carolina marries one of his slaves, and then he dies and leaves his slaves his slaves. Leaves his wife his slaves. And then I wanted to know, well, what happened then? Well, of course, the historian had moved on to another battle, another argument. It seemed to me that there was I'm meeting children now in America who are clearly brown in that sense. That is, they a young woman writes to me from this part of the country. She writes to me in California. She says she is the daughter of an Iranian Muslim, her father, and a New York Jew, her mother. She is, in short, a Jewish Muslim or a Muslim Jew. And I think to myself, you know, when you use the word irresolution, it seems to me that eroticism sets into motion something that is so incomplete and so wondrous because it is always beginning anew. It is always retranslating the known world. We may not know that. I'm convinced that one of the things of the 21st century that will puzzle us, especially those of us who are secular and belong to the world of public conversation, is that religion is going to be the great energy of this century. It is going to divide us. It is going to unify us. It is going to cause conflict. But already there is a Jewish Muslim in the world. And she both reconciles and she announces a world that has no boundaries and no theology. And already, but no known theology. That is, there is no one writing that theology of what it means to be a Jewish Muslim. But
she's living that.
She is living it, exactly, well, exactly.
And in some cases, and in some way, this goes back to your story of the Chinese and of Wales and of the Spanish so-called conquest. There was a time shortly before Abraham when...
That would be Abraham the First.
Abraham the First, not the president, when Jews and Muslims were the same people,
yes.
Except they weren't Jews and Muslims.
That's
and then
right.
there was sort of this historic accident. Some people would consider it, other than that, a series of historic accidents where there was a dividing. But the clear implication, and in fact the conditions in the Middle East suggest that dividing is not yet complete, going
yes.
back 2,000 years or 1,400 years or 3,500 years, pick your reference point in that.
Yes.
That this, you know, that this human saga is a much richer story than our history books led us to believe.
Yeah. It does seem to me that, I mean, the great irony of this moment, this terrible moment in the West, that these three desert religions, which are really brother religions, all of which are animated by the same Jewish idea that that God acts in history, which is a brilliant, brilliant breakthrough theologically, but has allowed these three religions, I think, to attend only to the masculine energy, which is the activist principle, without the advantage of the feminine contemplative principle of say Buddhism, or even without the sense of the female aspect that Hinduism has, that these three desert religions would end up at so much at war against each other. Suggests to me that we may be at the moment of their masculine collapse. We may be beginning to see, certainly when you saw in Afghanistan the women lined up to go to school the day after the Taliban were gone, when you see the decline of the Roman Catholic hierarchy in the United States, and the sexual squalor of men forcing themselves on boys and their obsession not with sex but with the eroticism of power, which is all that is. When you see these Jewish and Protestant fundamentalists yearning for the last days and dreaming of these habitations along the West Bank, so that we may have sort of the playing out of eschatology. It does suggest that something is ending, and obviously something is beginning. And I think that the desert religions may just now be beginning to enter an extraordinary feminine phase.
It seems in listening to what you're saying that there's an extraordinary learning opportunity from watching this conflict. I mean, if you look, the theory is that there should not be this conflict. I mean, if you look at the base of each
make
of these,
make them stop it.
Yes. The base of each of these religions, this what is happening now and has been happening,
yes.
Should not be happening. It is not consistent with the theology,
yes.
of any
or,
of them,
or the ideologies. The learning opportunity is, we've had literally thousands of years in some cases to work that out, and we still haven't worked it out. And I think it's what you're saying is we now have, not only the opportunity to learn from this, but also in some senses the necessity.
Yes.
Because we cannot no longer run to the far ends of the earth to escape these conflicts.
Yes.
I want to come back, when we come back, to this idea you have of bringing the biological metaphor of the sexual reproduction into the conversation, if you will. This is Richard Rodriguez with us here on the Paula Gordon Show. Of course, Bill Russell is here, and we'll all three be back in just a moment. We hope you are, too.